The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, this is Sam Smith, and welcome to Podcast 3.0. Actually, I don't know what that means, those 2.0 and 3.0 things. But this is the beginning of the 2013-14 season podcast, Sam Smith. And you would have said last week should have been the beginning because last week was when the season opened. And I'll tell you a little secret. I did record a podcast last week. And being somewhat ineffective in technology, as I do most of my writing on a manual typewriter, it didn't work. I couldn't figure out how to send it this time because I have to send it to somebody who posts it. And so it was a failure. But I thought that in thinking about it, I thought it was appropriate because it's matched the start of the Bulls season. Perhaps not a complete failure, given they have played a few games and they did actually win one, however unlikely, on Derrick Rose's last shot, which really was one of the more remarkable shots. It was a terrific play. If you have a chance to take a look at that, Thibodeau drew up a really good play where they got a couple of really good screens and wiped out Shumpert, got Derrick open going right to the corner. Although I wouldn't have gotten him open there, I thought that was a virtually impossible shot to make on that angle with that floater over Tyson Chandler, who's come back and played really well in that game. 19 rebounds, 8 on the offensive boards, best big man in the game, which he usually isn't against Chicago. So degree of difficulty, a heck of a shot, but sort of a lost first week in a sense with kind of the game equivalent of my technological ability in Miami. If you look at it, you could break it down and say, well, you know, if you count the first, third, and fourth quarters, the Bulls had more points. It doesn't work that way. Now, that's the kind of expertise and knowledge you're going to get on this podcast, that all four quarters count, or as Thibodeau likes to say, all 48 minutes, and that would be 36 good minutes. But as we call that, was foul trouble, you know, all excuses. Dan got in foul trouble, Jimmy Butler foul trouble, bad referees out to get the Bulls. But they came out, I thought, which is sort of carried through, except in spurts. And I think that's somewhat of the answer for the defensive play, which has not been has not been great in the first three games, particularly in three-point shooting, closing out on shooters, sort of flying by, like Noah did at the end of game three in Philadelphia when Hawes hit that basically the game-winning shot or the game-put-away shot. Yeah, and looking at that, as like we like to say, small sample, which means basically we still got an excuse. But the first game, I thought the usual energy that the Bulls play with, the aggressiveness and how much they're into a game in Miami wasn't there. And they said, and there is something, too, when you get foul trouble, you tend to be a little more tentative, you know. But I thought it was not there from the beginning, even though the Bulls did have a good start in that game, came out where they were up 9-2 or something. I think it was like 17-16 Miami after one quarter. So it was developing into a game, which could have been until that second quarter wipeout. Now, you know, Tibbs, I was surprised, and I don't think he'll do it again. You know, he took out both his perimeter, his wing defenders in Butler and Ding at the same time, which he really never plans to do. But both got into, you know, had three fouls early, and things really degenerated at that point. Then obviously the, you know, New York game, you know, for the most part, you know, the Bulls had dominated that game, got caught at the end. And then Rose bailed out with that shot again in Philadelphia on Saturday. Pretty much dominated that game, obviously, to a great extent, 20-point lead. And so you say, well, what's happening there? What's the commonality? The notion has been, you know, Derrick Rose, bad, have to trade him. No, that's not actually a universal view. But amazingly enough, I have gotten a couple of those emails. But one of the things you see from the Bulls, and you know, we've seen this over time. I mean, Derek is a great closer, and is going to be a great closer. You know, it's been interesting to me the level of criticism that Rose has received. I've never really got a sense of this with great players in Chicago. Obviously, it was all the talk last season with his injury, and he should have come back or not. I think everybody pretty much now accepts that he did the right thing. And the critics, pretty much what I've heard is, let's move on, meaning don't ask me about last season because I was wrong. So now the notion of, well, Eric's been shooting poorly, he's selfish. And I'll tell you, I think he's having a great, great season so far. Shooting, what, 24% or something? But the point is, now, three games in the regular season, basically no one's talking about his health. And that's all anyone was talking about, how you come back from knee surgery of that level, when not just anybody, you know, because you can come back like Tommy John surgery in baseball, which was once a career ender. You know, guys come back and still throwing 97 miles an hour. So you're going to come back. But no one's ever come back from that who was an explosive vertical player like that with incredible speed, takeoff speed. And Derek has done that. And to me, that's the greatest thing about the first part of the season, that the Bulls have their star player back. And frankly, none of us was sure whether they would be. I think for the most part, Rose has played fine. The shooting has been horrific. Hit Derek too, but everybody. Lual Deng, who's not a great shooter, but always consistent, always makes his fair number of shots, works at it, has been unusually off 3-point. You know, Mike Dunleavy has really not gotten very many opportunities. I don't think really what the Bulls have been running for him has been very good. They haven't gotten them into that, what they call that floppy, which you always used to see Richard Hamilton run, what Kyle Korver, and they've done it a few times, but haven't gotten, you know, a lot of that. I think you've got to get Dunleavy 10 or 12 shots at least a game on that. He's really a good shooter, but three games in, it's certainly understandable why you wouldn't. You know, you're still, you know, first game, you're messing around with foul trouble, you know, and also minutes limitation on Noah, who missed all but one preseason game. Kirk Heinrich, and I haven't seen any difference with Kirk. I think he's come back fine, even though he missed a few games. And, you know, Thibodeau makes a lot of missing preseason practice. I don't think with Kirk it affects much at all, who fits in really seamlessly and ran the team last year. But, you know, you're also moving Jimmy Butler into a starting position, even though he did start some, you know, from midseason on and in the playoffs with the injuries, that starting five. And one problem with that starting five has been, you know, I think Jimmy will get there, but he's still a hesitant shooter, perimeter shooter. When you're playing the shooting guard position, they shouldn't have to say that about you. I think he's been terrific. He and Gibson and Boozer are probably the best players, you know, numbers-wise in the early season. Jimmy Moore defensively, rebounding. I think he had like a 10-rebound game against the Knicks when Chandler was battering them on the board. So I thought that was key, the way he, you know, helped out and stepped in with something like that. But both he and Noah particularly, and understandable, missing so many games, but the first two games he didn't want a shot at all. And I don't think he took a shot over 5 feet. And teams are laying off him 6-8 feet in the lane. He finally made a couple of jumpers at the beginning of a Philly game, but then after he missed one after halftime, he turned down shots again and moved the ball, which is fine. That's what he does. And the team doesn't look to Noah to be a shooter, but, you know, if you're going to play in the pick and roll with Derek, which he does, and you're the release valve, you've got to be some sort of a threat. And from free throw line, he should be a threat. He's a 75% free throw shooter and has been the last couple of years. His confidence is not great to start the season, understandably so, given missing so many preseason games. But then if you've got two players, you know, who are hesitant like that with Noah and Butler, the defenders are laying off them. And so that clogs the driving lanes for Derek quite a bit. I think he's moved the ball. He had a tough time with turnovers in the Philadelphia game. But that happens with a guy who controls the ball. Just go back. Go ahead, I'll wait. No, I'm not going to wait. Go back and look at Magic Johnson's turnovers sometimes. There were seasons that probably averaged 4 or 5. If you have the ball all the time, and Derek, more so even than a guy like Magic, who's expected to be a scorer, you're going to have games where you turn the ball over a lot. Derek works at it. Most of the time he's not going to have those games, but they happen. But what I was alluding to before in the New York game where at the end, Knicks got back in the game, Philly, you know, the Bulls tend to at times, and they've always done this in the last couple of years when they won 60 games and they've led the league in wins. They tend to go into the sort of a basketball version of a prevent in the fourth quarter a lot. They don't push the ball nearly as much. They push the ball early in the game. They pull it out a lot more. They'll run clock. They'll shoot late in the clock, and it takes them out of their rhythm. Oh, I hate that word. I hate that rhythm word because it doesn't mean anything. I know players use it all the time. It takes them out of the flow of the game sometimes because they'll pull back and look for the perfect shot. They look for the right play. And we've seen that how many times in football constantly where teams sit on the clock and with a lead and the aggressor. And that's what happens in sports. It's not a baseball thing, but it's happens in football and happens in basketball. The aggressor takes the game because the aggressor also gets the calls. And Miami got the calls in that first game because they were the aggressor. Yeah, there were some calls. And, you know, Jimmy had a bad call on a charge cutting across the lane. Dang had a bad call. But generally, and that's why home court, you know, I've discussed that before. It's not that the referees are intimidated by the home crowd and are making calls because they want the home fans to like them. It's because crowd noise and being at home, the enthusiasm of the home crowd pushes you to be a little more aggressive. And when you're a little more aggressive, you tend to get more foul calls because the other guy's reacting with his hands as opposed to his feet, grabbing instead of moving. And so that would happen. But conversely, you know, if you start to play cautiously, as the Bulls did against the Knicks, and I thought against Philadelphia as well, the other team becomes the aggressor, even on your home court, counterbalances that home court edge that you should have. So the Bulls do some of that. You know, they've always done some of that. You know, part of that is, you know, they are a good executing team, run the plays, and they'll get good scoring plays out of it. You know, and then with their defense, they're still going to knock some balls loose and be able to run out on those. But again, defensively has not been the start. You know, some of that has been thrown off by the Miami game where they gave up a lot of points in that one quarter, you know, and again, a little bit against Philadelphia. But, I mean, you can see the defense. It's not so much I haven't sensed that it's a matter of not competing. It's just a matter of, you know, changing lineups. Thibodeau's always, over the years, gotten a lot of criticism on minutes. Players are not playing an extraordinary amount of minutes yet. They eventually will, as everybody will. You know, take a look at Carmelo Anthony. I'm sure he's averaging well over 40 minutes this season, probably more than anybody on the Bulls. So that tends to be something looked at, and I tend to, you know, kind of side with Thibodeau on that. Players play. That's what you do. That's how you get better. That's how you win games. You put your best players in the game. And you know, the other point is, Boozer, who has been very good. The Bulls have gone away from him at times. And I think, you know, that's been the mix of offense and defense. You know, Carlos is not a great defender, but never has been. Always felt it was very unfair. The criticism he took the first couple of years here in Chicago particularly, said, well, his defense not good. Well, that means you didn't watch him in Utah, because that's what he's never been. But he's always been, you know, a post player, a guy who could score and rebound. The guy's been productive, and I think he looks in better shape this year again. And last year he was in very good shape. So the last 2 years he's worked hard. He's come in better shape. He's been quicker. You know, he's got great hands and great feet. And so the Bulls have done well with him, you know, going to him early. They stray from that sometimes. And, you know, they tend to forget that. But he's, you know, he's a guy who moves the ball too, you know, good passer. So he's just been really good and really solid. And so 1-2 start, which sets up a nice game in Indiana this week. The Pacers are off to 3-0. And so it's a good matchup. What I was calling it, it's a showdown game. And for the Bulls, it has to be a show-up game. How about that? That's really clever. I think I'm going to write that also. Just came up with that. But those are good matchups because the Pacers are not an explosive offensive team. One thing to watch, really, Lance Stephenson has really been a lot better. Shot the ball better. Shot the ball well at all because he's been a poor shooter or erratic player, a guy you could take out of his game. And I think he's clearly displaced, even though Danny Granger's hurt. I think he's clearly displaced him in the lineup. And this will be the first chance in the preseason, not that that matters, except since the Bulls won both those games. The Pacers will have revenge on their mind. Noah always has an interesting or sometimes difficult time with Hibbert, given his size. So I think that's a great test, too, for Noah. Again, not score, but he's rebounded really well. And, you know, that's what has to play against Indiana. Indiana is not going to be a big scoring team. I know George Hill's been sort of in and out, hurt. When they won over Cleveland over the weekend, I think it was one of those, you know, 90-75 games or something. So I expect it to be a real close, physical, tough game, you know, for the two teams that are going to battle with Miami, who also is up often. Now, it's more understandable with Miami. You know, that was that they had their big opener against Chicago. Didn't want to be embarrassed like they were several years back after they won a championship with Shaq and lose it in the game by 40. So they came out, you know, played well, took it away in that second quarter and laxed. But they're going to have that relaxation thing. And you can see they've got, well, I think it's a 2-2 start. Dwayne Wade took a game off already. So you can see that they're not going to be shooting for any sort of extraordinary record. And that's why going into the season, I thought either the Bulls or Pacers could win the regular season best record in the East. I picked the Bulls. So, no, I mean, technically they could still go 80-2, but I'm not predicting that at this point. Otherwise, you know, looking around the league, it's really been, again, I think it's going to be a really terrific season. There's been some great stuff so far. Minnesota off to an undefeated start. Nice win in New York Sunday. Kevin Love is playing great. Several of those big guys. Kevin Love's really played terrific. Hit some amazing shots to win that game. Hit a shot early last week to get him into overtime for their first win. LaMarcus Aldridge is off to a huge start. I mention these names because fans always send them to me. So those are the guys you're going to get. Well, that's the Bulls have to get. Well, forget it. You're not getting those guys. They're the best guys on their teams. And those teams are continuing to build around those guys. The other guy has been really impressive. I really think he's terrific. I watch him all the time. Anthony Davis, the Chicago kid from New Orleans. You could see he's bigger. He's worked out. Even though he may not weigh a whole lot more, you could see him defined muscle-wise, stronger. Had an incredible line the other day with like 24 points, 8 rebounds, 6 steals, 6 blocks, 4 assists. Really, really a great talent. So it's been great watching some of those guys. Russell Westbrook's back with Oklahoma City. So they're going to be good. Bulls are in there in a couple of weeks. You know, some of the teams that stuck out, Washington is, and I mentioned that because I wrote check out my NBA notes, NBA column Monday, which is always the best NBA column that I write each week. tough start again, tough schedule. That could be the first coaching change. Worst defense in the league. John Wall's hanging his head already. Orlando, another rookie, Oladipo, even though everybody's tried to give Carter Williams the Rookie of the Year award after those first, they beat Miami and Chicago the first week. Oladipo's been really good. They had a strong win on Sunday over the Nets. Who we all love Magic Johnson, but he basically, I love it where he declared the Nets are going to be the champion last week. He's great, but he is a fan. And that's probably the greatest thing about Magic. He really is a fan. And he really looks at the game like a fan. In other words, last thing he sees is what's going to happen. But anyway, the Rockets also off strong, and they've been getting along. They don't play. They start Oshik and Howard, and Howard's been terrific, but they don't play him a lot during the games. Memphis, which I thought is going to struggle, they have struggled a little bit to start. Denver, too, has been a mess with sort of their lineups, changes. You know, Phoenix has been interesting, a little better than I thought they'd be. In the East, like I said, Brooklyn welcomed Jason Kidd back from his suspension with a blowout loss. Pistons have been interesting, a little better. Josh Smith shooting too many threes, so that is always going to be tough. But that front line is good, and our good buddy Kyle Korver continues to make three after three after three, and is about 10 games away from the all-time record. So anyway, it's good. It's been a great first week, really enjoyable around the league. And with some assist, I'm going to look for an assist on this. And if I get an appropriate assist, this will actually work and be available on Bulls.com. So I know you're spending most of your time there anyway. And we'll see if this one will be there to listen to, too. So check with me next week. And take care.